where Fairfield comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Taking away this dam will actually really help the environmental balance in the Long Island Sound. So it has regional effects. It's going to help wildlife. It's going to restore not just the fish runs that to date have not been able to obviously get past this dam, but all of the predatory birds and other things that depend on that actually occurring will improve upstream here. So I'm really delighted.
This is the result of that process. We're going to get this dam removed and the ecosystem restored much more rapidly than if we had to go through the traditional bureaucratic process of applying for traditional grants and that sort of thing.
So that was a little bit of Congressman Jim Himes with hopefully some rushing water in the background. Joining us right now is Kurt Johnson, president of Save the Sound, to give us a little bit more information about what Congressman Himes was referring to. Welcome, Kurt Johnson, to the Lisa Wexler Show. I see that you're a lawyer like myself. You graduated UConn School of Law. You also did a master's in law. I never did that. And you were an attorney with Mirtha Kalina for 3.5 years before joining then the Connecticut Fund for the Environment as an attorney in 1993. And you have clearly taken your legal gifts and talents to trying to make Connecticut a cleaner, safer, better place. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate being here. And just a note about Save the Sound, which, as you say, grew out of Connecticut Fund for the Environment and Save the Sound and the Soundkeeper program, which came together. We do service the entire Long Island Sound region, so it includes Westchester and all of Long Island as well. So thank you so much for having me.
So is SaveTheSound.org a professional not-for-profit, or is it, you know, exclusively composed of volunteers?
It is professional. We have a staff of about 38. About 10 of us are down in our Westchester office in Larchmont, and the balance are up here in Connecticut in the New Haven office. But I want to say we're supported by tens of thousands of volunteer voices, citizen voices, and each year we have probably about 1,800 volunteers working with us, cleaning up our rivers and sound and working to protect it.
Okay, that's fantastic. So just let me begin. What is the mission of Save the Sound? What's the mission?
Well, the mission is to move action to protect our rivers, the lands, of course, that surround our rivers. And when I'm talking about that, it's the forests that protect our rivers, keep them running clean, helping our cities become more resilient in the face of climate change, helping them to prevent flooding and purifying our rivers so Long Island Sound is cleaner and healthier, using the power of wildlife, which is what I should say, the power of nature, which is what you heard Jim Himes talking about a few moments ago, to restore rivers, to restore marshland, and at the same time, protecting the communities that surround that natural feature from flooding and cleaning up, again, the entire ecosystem. We also fight climate change. If we are not taking a handle on climate change, we will be losing our ecosystems and putting our people at great danger who live in the area.
So we're chatting with Kurt Johnson, president of Save the Sound. So tell us a little bit specifically, because I believe you were with Congressman Himes when that audio was taken, when he was making that speech. What's going on with respect to something called Dana Dam? What is that?
Dana Dam is a dam on the Norwalk River. It's up in Wilton, Connecticut. It's approximately 10 miles from the coast, and it is serving no purpose now. It's actually hurting the river in a few different ways. It provides a bit of a flood hazard, number one. Number two, that is an unusual river because it is a cold water river down in southern Connecticut. And why that's important, we have very few very cold water rivers in southern Connecticut. And that supports brook trout. Brook trout are an iconic fish that, you know, have been here since the Ice Age. Wonderful fish for fishing, beloved by fishermen and just nature lovers. And that pond behind Dana Dam is warming up that river and hurting fish as a result. Taking that dam down will reopen a 20-mile fish highway. It will mean that the Norwalk River is again running free for 20 miles all the way up to Georgetown. What that means is that right at this time of year, another fish, a river herring, are moving first from the ocean up through the sound and then moving up our rivers. And they're looking for quiet parts of the river or ponds to lay their eggs. So this is going to open up an additional 10 miles for those fish, eels, a lot of other creatures as well. So it's really about restoring a river system which is connected to the sound and connected to wildlife throughout the sound.
So let me ask you this. We're chatting with Kurt Johnson, president of Save the Sound, 203-333-9422. Why was the dam erected to begin with? Why did they have the dam?
This dam was an unusual one. It was actually erected by a resident in the 1930s or very early 40s as a skating pond. And it's no longer used for that reason. There's not much skating left with the changes in climate change and the warming water. So the neighbors and the town of Wilton agreed that it would make sense to take it down. And again, it's going to restore the Norwalk River back to much healthier and more abundant life, and allow fish that are as far away as the Race and the open area of the Atlantic River herring to thrive and find places to reproduce.
We have a question for you from Mike from Trumbull. Mike from Trumbull, you're on the air with Kurt Johnson, president of Save the Sound. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Kurt. With the demographic shift and all of the New Yorkers fleeing New York from Long Island and Westchester and moving into Connecticut, what do you think that's going to have in terms of an economic impact on the sound? Because we know that because of the huge population in Long Island, obviously there's much more considerations and hazards to wildlife on the Long Island side than on the Connecticut side. And how is that going to impact the costs and everything related to that?
That's a great question. So let me just say that our work extends over into Long Island as well. And there's really important work being done there to clean up the waters in the coastal area. That focus is a lot on improving septic systems and cesspools. And there are now technologies to do so. And I give the current governor as well as past governor of New York tremendous credit for investing state dollars to allow homeowners, hundreds and thousands of homeowners on Long Island, particularly we care about the North Shore that drains into Long Island Sound. Those folks now have very cost-effective ways to improve their cesspools and their septic tanks to help protect the waters of the Sound, because those outdated technologies allow a lot of nitrogen pollution to run into the Sound, which creates problems in bays and harbors like Northport.
So are you saying that there are subsidies for people to upgrade their own systems?
I never heard of that.
Do we have them in Connecticut?
We have a lot of subsidy going on and a lot of improvement going to our sewer system. So
right.
In your area of the Sound, all the way down to Brantford, we are on public sewers, and I want to give credit to particularly Bridgeport, all of Westchester, the towns in Westchester, to Darien, and to West Haven. We're sort of having to push West Haven a bit right now. We may be pushing them harder in New Haven for going ahead and moving to invest in improving and replacing and enhancing their sewer pipe collection system. Just a word, Lisa, and to your caller, I want to thank everyone who's listening for the investment you have made, and you have done that through your sewer fees, in improving our sewer system over the last 25 or 30 years. We have made a major investment in the sewer plants themselves, the place where all the sewage runs to and gets treated, and it is now treating nitrogen quite effectively around the sound. And that includes Connecticut, it includes Westchester, it includes New York City. There's still more work to be done in New York City, for sure.
There's more work to be done in New York City and the Bronx. I can tell you right now, you can just see it. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
but that's all right.
Absolutely.
I don't want to get too complacent here. Kurt Johnson, we got another caller from you.
There's more work to be done there.
There is.
And there's much more work to be done on the sewer pipes. That's my main point.
Okay, Kurt,
right now,
I've got, hold on. I got a caller for Daniel from Reading, and then I'll hear about the sewer pipes. Go ahead, Daniel from Reading. Go ahead. You're on the air with Kurt Johnson, President of Save the Sound.
Kurt, good afternoon. I heard you talking about climate change as an existential threat to us living on the Sound. And although I believe climate change most certainly exists, the climate's been changing for thousands of years, what I think what we should focus on, especially Save the Sound, is the walk bridge that Blumenthal, as well as who's the other gentleman? Anyway, the walk bridge that they're championing in Norwalk that they just celebrated raising $15 million for, even though it's a $1.6 billion project. That project is going to include driving in 426 pylons into a severely contaminated riverbed. We know that it's severely contaminated because of a project literally a stone's throw when they were doing a boat ramp. They found, I mean, all types of contaminants. You can actually look at it on norwalk.org, all the contaminants that they found. So I think we should stop this walk bridge because it's going to stir up God knows what, including PCBs, all types of carcinogens. I mean, it's a disaster. How can we let them destroy?
Thank you, Daniel. Let's hear. Thank you, Daniel. Kurt Johnson, what do we know about the walk bridge and stirring up the bottom of the area that feeds into or is already part of the Sound? Go ahead.
That is a concern of ours. Our sound keeper has been working with a local scientist there to do evaluation of the sediment issue that Daniel was talking about. And Lisa, we have actually a couple of years ago submitted a letter and comments to the DOT and recommended that we look at possible less expensive alternatives that would probably have less impact in stirring up the sediment. Now, I will say that sediment contamination is an issue that we face in many areas of Long Island Sound. To Daniel's point, we had recommended that. The decision's been made to move ahead with that infrastructure replacement. I think it's important to put these contamination issues in some perspective. And what I mean by that is the most important thing when we are doing any dredging or moving of those sediments is to talk about how we're doing it, managing it properly, and making sure it's properly disposed of.
Kurt Johnson, can you stay with us? We're going to have to go to some commercials. I have more questions for you. Will you stay with us?
Sure.
We're chatting with Kurt Johnson, president of Save the Sound. We'll be right back.
Let Southern Connecticut hear what you think. Call 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show is back on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
And we're chatting with Kurt Johnson of Save the Sound, the president of Save the Sound, who's an environmental lawyer of many years, who knows an awful lot about big picture Save the Sound's an organization with offices in Larchmont, offices here in Connecticut, and they protect the whole sound, the sound that borders on Westchester County, Bronx, in New York City, here, the Gold Coast, so to speak. We know very, very well off of Fairfield and New Haven counties, and even on the other side on Long Island, where we know, Kurt, that various communities over the years have taken different interests in trying to save the sound. I have a couple more questions for you from listeners. One wants to know, what is a nurdle? Actually, she knows of what it is, but she's like, can you tell us about nurdles and how we get rid of them and spotting them and all that stuff? And can you educate our listeners? What is a nurdle anyway?
Well, I have to beg some ignorance myself. I'm not sure.
It's a little bit of plastic that is found.
Oh, okay.
They seem to be found in a lot of waters in a lot of places.
Yeah. All right. Well, plastics are an enormous, enormous issue. One thing I'll just point out that's slightly unique about Long Island Sound is that the plastic debris in the sound is we've seen the enemy and it is us, as Pogo used to say. In other words, it's the debris that all of us are dumping on our streets, into our rivers, it's flushing into the sound. It's much less coming from the open Atlantic Ocean than being caused here. Now, what do we do about it? There's three issues and three ways to attack this. One is at the legislature, and I really want to call out, some of our ally groups who have taken the lead on this. Connecticut and New York, I'm proud to say, have done a couple of things. One is we have banned single-use plastic bags. A second thing that we have done is we have banned little tiny emulsifiers, which are little pieces of plastic inside cosmetics. They are going to be completely plastic-free within the next year. There's so much more to be done, Lisa, on this. So much more to be done. We need to be looking at single-use plastics. We need to be holding plastic manufacturers responsible. The second thing,
you know where else? Can I just say something, Kurt, as long as we're talking about legislature? There are enormous amount of plastics in our pharmaceuticals. I wear an estrogen patch, right? Ever since I had menopause, I wear a little patch of estrogen on my skin. Do you know that there are four separate tiny pieces of plastic that I have to peel off every patch? And it hurts
me. Ridiculous.
It hurts me because I know that that plastic is going to end up in some turtle someplace. And I'm supposed to be using this medicine for me. I don't know what to do about it.
I think one of the things for people to do is to join groups like Save the Sound that are actively fighting the deluge of plastic coming onto the market. We are actively looking at ways from a legal perspective to put more pressure outside the legislature. I'll also say another thing that we are doing is our urban areas, we're working in New Haven, we're working in Bridgeport, we're working up the Quinnipiac River, we're starting to work in Westchester to both directly install and then encourage others to install what we call rain gardens, which are on the edge of our city streets. It collects water that otherwise would be rushing off into the sound with all that plastic, directs it into a garden. And if there's plastic on the street, it will end up there and be removed as opposed to, in other words, will be intercepted before it gets to the sound.
Okay.
And the last thing I'll say is I want to just give a shout out to the 1,800 volunteers and invite everyone to join us for our International Coastal Cleanup. Last year, we had about 1,600, I should say, volunteers cleaned up 70 miles of the coast, removed about 4.5 tons of plastic crap out of Long Island Sound and its rivers. So we need to do all those
things.
When is
that? When is that cleanup day? When is that cleanup?
Well, we the biggest part of the cleanup time is in mid to late September.
Okay.
Mid-September, starting about the 15th, running into the first week in October. It's our International Coastal Cleanup Day or month, I should say. Go to savethesound.org. Savethesound.org and just type in Coastal Cleanup. and we have sites all up and down the coast.
Okay, got a couple more questions for you, Kurt Johnson. Save the sound. What about Remington Woods, 420 acres of formerly polluted, maybe somewhat still slightly polluted, but mostly non-polluted ecosystem that's been allowed to just be left alone for the last generation or so and now is in danger of commercial development? How is Safe the Sound advocating that that parcel of land helps the cleanliness of Long Island Sound?
Yeah, absolutely. We there's another site similar to this that we are taking an active lead, the Winchester in Camden, 120-acre site. We want to see that entire 120-acre site protected. In terms of Remington Woods, we want to see the vast majority of that protected. And I think it's just, you know, this may be somewhat controversial, but I'll just say that there's tremendous interest from the mayor's office, et cetera, in seeing development happen. My point is that perhaps there could be very limited development there. This is a large parcel, 400 plus acres, and the balance of the really important ecological marshes and woods could be protected. Absolutely right, the caller, that this is in a very important piece of property to protect for the value of Long Island Sound. And I want to give a shout out to the hundreds of people that worked with us over the last month. I'm proud to say that Deer Lake now, which is a old Boy Scout camp up in Killingworth, Connecticut, at 250, 275 acres, will be saved.
It was, definitely.
On the selling block. A deal has been struck. An organization, nonprofit, is taking over operating the camp. The balance of the property that's not needed for the camp will be fully protected. So it's a deal that has been struck with the Boy Scouts. We're still in the process of finalizing that. And I want to give a shout out to the first selectman of Killingworth, who did a tremendous job working behind the scenes.
As far as I'm concerned, I had not seen that. I think that that's breaking news because we've been covering that almost every day here on the show. So I'm delighted to hear that.
It was in the New Haven Register last week that
Did I miss that? Yeah. I don't know how I missed that. Okay. Well, that's great news. I mean, if it's true, I think it's great news. They were angling for it to be saved, but it hadn't definitely been announced.
Let me qualify. I read it just a couple paragraphs. I think it was on Friday in the paper.
I'm
wrong, I apologize to your listeners.
Find out. My producer is right here trying to find out with tremendous alacrity.
Yeah.
She's trying to find out one way or another. But maybe Paul Pacelli at 2 o'clock will be able to tell us, Paul. Maybe you'll know by two if we have to go off, if Deer Lake has been solved. But I will say this, there's been a lot of pressure to save Deer Lake. That's for sure. An awful lot.
Yeah. And we want to work with folks on Remington as well.
Okay, terrific. Well, I want to thank you, Kurt Johnson of Save the Sound, for your advocacy and your efforts. I'd like to have you come back on as we get closer to the big day to help out with volunteers. We'll get a bunch of listeners from the Lisa Wexler Show organized. I'll be one of them, so that we can clean up Long Island Sound together.
That's fantastic, Lisa Wexler. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Kurt Johnson of Save the Sound. I'm Lisa Wexler, 203-333-9422 is the number, 203-333-9422. Just wanted to let you know that coming up is Norm Pattis coming on at 12? He is? Oh, that's marvelous. Great. Norm Pattis will be joining us from 12 to 2. And then Paul Pacelli from 2 to 6 at 203-333-9422, your community radio station. I'll be back behind the mic tomorrow. And don't forget to call in and be part of the audience. You're listening to WICC 600, 107.3 FM, WICC600.com. And you can send me an email anytime you like at lisa@lisawexler.com. We'll be back behind the mic tomorrow.
Same thing, and maybe we'll find.